Sets of books in every home. First, he said Krishna book in every house. And when that was the only book. And then he said the full set of Bhagavatam in every house. You know. So we need to think like that. There's never enough book distribution. Someone mentioned recently, and we hear this, I've heard this since even 1971. In Los Angeles, some devotees were saying, well, we distributed so many books, we can't distribute any more books now. So it flooded the market, you know. And then it was nothing. And somebody will say, well, we distributed so many books, why, where's the devotees, what's the result, nothing's coming of it. But we're distributing, of course, for the pleasure of the spiritual master, the pleasure of the previous acharyas, and in our case especially Srila Prabhupada, and that's all we need to really worry about. But we also know there's a long-range effect, we don't know. We have so many stories come of people having Bhagavad Gita for 20 years, and when they finally read it, they become devotees, but they didn't touch it for 20 years sometimes. Even longer, or sometimes even next life, it's their children read it. They never read it. They got the book, and they never read it. So I don't, you know, I'm not that active anymore. I'm trying to encourage devotees wherever I go, publishing books and getting them distributed in different languages, because Srila Prabhupada wanted that very much. And we're seeing, of course, India. In the time of Srila Prabhupada, the devotees in India were saying, we can't distribute books in India. Everyone has them already. Prabhupada was very frustrated. The letters say, I wish the devotees in India would distribute like you're doing in America or England. But now, what percentage is in India? 75% or so? 50%. 50% of the world's books is, and then Russia's got another big chunk. But then we have to think about engaging all these Indians all over the world, you know, in preaching to the local people, wherever they are. But India is becoming, you know, more and more Krishna conscious, more and more aware of it. So we take advantage of that. But I just was remembering, you know, now we have the Sankirtan newsletter. Comes every month, the World Sankirtan Newsletter. There's an American one, and there's maybe a few others. How that got started, I remember, at that time, Los Angeles, in America anyway, was one of the main book distributing temple, more devotees and lots of books. And Srila Prabhupada would spend a lot of time there. In the winter, it was good weather, and he could concentrate on, he had good facility. He could work on, they protected him, and he could spend, you know, get a lot of energy into his translating and training devotees. So one morning, on the morning walk, he just suddenly said, how many books were distributed yesterday? And nobody knew the total. So he let it pass. And the next day, I don't know, somehow there I was able to go on the walks. And again he said, how many books were distributed yesterday? And then, you know, especially Ramaswar, who was in charge of the book distribution in the temple, panicked. And I happen to know one score of one Tripurari. He had done like 40 or 50 books at the airport. 50 books in one day, that's quite good, you know. So I just said, I didn't usually speak out much, but I said, well, Tripurari distributed 50 books yesterday. Prabhupada looked, he said, only 50 books? And I said, well, it's only one person, it's just one person, 50 books. Only 50 books? And he was very serious about it. So bells started ringing in Ramaswamy's head, and so he went back and he made a blackboard, you know, with everybody's name and every kind of book. And he put it, you know, with the columns, and he put it up in the book distribution, Sankirtan room. And then he waited until, you know, some devotees didn't get back till 9, 10 o'clock at night from book distribution, and everybody put their scores in, and he ran upstairs and he typed it all up and he took it to Srila Prabhupada. And he was very pleased, you know, he was very happy to see them. And that was only for one temple. So from that, then the Sankirtan newsletter got started.
What year?
Must have been 72, something like that. And not everybody participated, so, you know, the devotees in America were a little puffed up, but we found out later that devotees in Germany were distributing even more books. But they didn't want to, you know, they had some idea, they didn't send scores in. So, 75 it was, the first year I was in Mayapur. They were given prizes for the book distribution. Prabhupada was personally distributing the silver-plated cartels, you know, to the world's biggest distributors. So they called for Rohini Sutta and Manidhar as the world's champions, I guess, that year. And they weren't there. So they said, well, Prabhupada, they didn't come because they didn't want to stop distributing books to come to Mayapur. And I was sitting there, of course, I wanted to come to Mayapur really bad. Prabhupada became so happy to hear that. I felt like dirt, you know, I just felt like crawling and back, getting on a plane right away and going back to where I came from. Rohini still has those cartels. I don't know if the silver is still, I don't think the silver is still on. So he went on distributing, you know, so many books. And he was the first book distribution minister. Now we have our Vijay Prabhu, who has done so much to encourage and inspire devotees all over the world, traveling tirelessly, going out every day and distributing, always blowing everybody's mind how many books he can distribute, and very steady, every day the same practically with Bhagavad Gita. So we need to, everybody understand how much Prabhupada is pleased. I remember we were doing the Chicago airport, in the old airports in America, they're not like that anymore. Basically, they were just airports with a few newsstand or a snack shop or something. Now the airport, like somebody told me in Tel Aviv, he said, well, it's a shopping center with an airport attached. So that we can't, we had free run, and there were two main terminals, and maybe 20, 25 devotees would go every day. So in each place we had about 12 devotees. And the people were just pouring out down this long hallway. And, you know, we were distributing so many books. And, you know, we had our constitutional right. At that time they couldn't challenge it. And Vaisheshika Prabhu was there. And he was very tall, and he could, we were mainly looking for military people, and he could spot them like when they were much further away than the rest of us could grab them. So I remember sometimes I would get very envious. I'd see someone else distributing more books, you know, getting in, jumping ahead of me, or, you know, moving faster. But then I thought, well, it's, you know, Prabhupada's pleasure that every book is distributed, so I should be happy, even though, you know, my false ego is feeling bad, why not me? I should have distributed, I should get the bigger score. But at least Krishna would give me a little intelligence to understand it. It's for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So whoever does it, we should be happy. And we're happy to see India distributing so many books. We're happy to see all these things. You know, in India, it probably still goes on, but you know, we have the Gita, but many times that book that they call the Gita, it's not even the Bhagavad Gita they have in their home. You know, they just say, we have Bhagavatam. But then when you explain and show them Prabhupada, and you know, and they take it, and you know, we're doing that all over the world. In Thailand, book distribution is only, you know, we had books for many, many years, but it wasn't so much book distribution, but the last few years we got some young devotees come who are native, and you know, we've been doing more and more books. And for a long time it was all just very small books. We made special little book, just, well, we had Bhagavad Gita introduction, Bhagavad Gita chapter 2. As the translations were going on, we had a lot of little books just about meditation or something, you know, 25 pages. And mostly people were, they're pious, you know, they like monks. And they just give a donation and we give them a book. We show them the book, but mainly they just give a donation. But then gradually, you know, a few people would give a bigger donation, or they'd see the Bhagavad Gita or the Krishna book and they'd get interested in it. And now people are asking, you know, for the Bhagavad Gita. They're asking for the big book. They want more books. You know, the more they're distributed, the more people have read them. Either they want more, or they've heard about it from someone else, they've seen it. So the more we distribute, the more it just increases the market. That's what I suppose, especially in India and Russia, also, you know, after the perestroika was, and when they, communism was gone, there was such a flood of books, you know, and nobody else was really in on it right so fast, so Prabhupada's books became very, very famous, and then people want them. So that's the process. It's happened everywhere in the world. And the more we give pleasure to the previous acharyas, and our line is a line of book people from Vyasadeva, you know, writing all the books, and then so many acharyas wrote so many books, and then Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda, just to see the list of books they wrote, it's mind-boggling. And they wanted, you know, distribution. So nobody is superior or inferior. We all do what we can according to our, you know, whatever ability we have, and whatever Krishna lets us do. But every town and village and everywhere in the world, you know, we want these books distributed. We want translations in more languages. In Indonesia, when I first went there, there was some sort of a ban on Hare Krishna. Turned out it wasn't really that serious, but somehow the devotees were thinking that it was very serious. And they weren't distributing any books. The person in charge wouldn't print any more books. But we kept struggling. We got some books. We got some books. And found out that the more we distributed the books, the more people became favorable. Until it's become like, we can hardly keep up. You know, every time I talk to them, they've another printing of Bhagavad Gita, a new format, a new size, new covers, new designs, and many other new books coming out. And more devotees are participating. That, you know, Vaisheshika has perfected that, but many, many people doing something, you know, it adds up to be very, very big. So the idea is we want to encourage everybody, the entire congregation, everybody, find some way to distribute a few books. If we can organize, like, you know, these weekend festivals, or just inspire in whatever way. In Southern California, Mahatattva Prabhu, he started that Shastra Dan, It was very small. Some devotees were saying, ho, 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 you know, this is useless. It's only so many dollars a month. But it became bigger and bigger. The more people do it. He saw the congregation, they weren't doing very much. You know, maybe they just come for the Sunday feast. They give a little donation, take prasadam. So he started taking donations just for book distribution and giving free books to libraries or whatever. And then some of them decided they'd let us distribute some books. And they were saying, why didn't you tell us about this? This is wonderful. This is ecstatic. You should have told us before. And now they're really on a roll. And, you know, they have book stands all over the place, and a newspaper all about, you know, preaching and book distribution. And many, many, many congregation people using their intelligence and their free time to think of ways to distribute books and reaching out in all kinds of places we never think of, you know. So the more we talk about it, the more we share our experiences, you know, everybody we meet, of course we meet a lot of demons, but that's also just encouraging to see what challenges are there. But always somehow we meet many, many nice people. People that are sometimes actually looking for the book. You know, they actually went out looking to find a Bhagavad Gita. But not, mostly just people that are just very happy to, you know, to contact a devotee. And devotees are find more and more, you know, brilliant ways to enliven people, break through their ignorance. We get reports from all over the world, you know. People, everybody's looking for Krishna, you know, they want, Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. They don't know what that is. I was distributing books one time in Copenhagen. Anybody from there? It's considered the most atheistic city in the world or something, rated like that. And so the Krishna book, they didn't call it Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They just called it Krishna, the Reservoir of All Pleasure. So I showed it to one guy, and he looked at it, and he said, I have the Reservoir of All Pleasure already. And he hugged his girlfriend. My girlfriend. But that's a very limited reservoir of pleasure. They could have been fighting the next afternoon or divorced or whatever. But devotees keep going, and in any place in the world, the most atheistic place, the most Mayavadi place, the most Buddha place, people take books. They want the books. They're looking for them. And when they read them, then we need, like, this program is very enlivening. Of course, Tirupati is leading the way with total dependence on book distribution. Of course, they have a special feature. What do you say, 30 million tourists come every year? Pilgrim? That's like Disney World. More than come to Disney World. That's the biggest, and I thought, you know, they say that's the biggest tourist place in the world, right? 25 million people come, but they don't come for spiritual pilgrimage there. They come for sense gratification. All kinds of sense gratification. So Tirupati is a special place, but all that energy, I heard they had two shifts, you know, some go from 6 in the morning till noon, and some go from noon till 6 in the afternoon. And distributing books at different temples, mostly around the area. There's a lot of famous places. So we might not have that facility everywhere, but everywhere we have living entities. We have people that are desperately needing knowledge. So Prabhupada stressed so much, you know. He said, I'm whipping my disciples, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. In the early days, you know, when we first got started, so many letters are there, everyone's seen them all, you know, just encouraging the book distributors, glorifying the book distributors, you know, and challenging the book distributors. sometimes devotees were pushing Prabhupada, you know, we want all the Bhagavatam translated. He said, why should I translate? You're not distributing my book. One time someone sent him, the names of devotees for initiation. He wrote back, why they're not distributing my books? Why these devotees don't distribute my book? But he wanted the books to be read also. There's so many instances of that. Somebody would say, Prabhupada, we're distributing so many books. And one girl told him that in L.A. And he just shouted back. He was getting in the car to go for his morning walk and she came out, Prabhupada, we distribute every day so many books. And he said, why don't you read my books? You should read them. But if someone wanted to say, I'm just going to sit and study all day, then he said, no, you have to distribute it to balance our life. It goes together. When one reads the books more and naturally want to distribute them, and when we distribute them, we naturally want to read them more because we're going to meet people that ask questions. People want to, they want to hear what it's all about. You can't say, well, I don't know what it's about. I'm just distributing them. I'm a salesman. No. We have to be able to talk to people. We have to live the books. But the temple also has to be an example of everyone living, according to the books. People are intelligent. They look for those things. And when we have that, then we spread and grow like anything, and we get appreciation from all different sides, from religious leaders, from sometimes even politicians. And so many people have read the books, and it's influencing in so many, many, many ways the Hare Krishna movement. But many times people don't even know where they got the influence, but like the vegetarian movements, many, many things, the animal rights. The Christians, there's a Christian movement now, Christian vegetarian. And of course, they're stressing on health, but they're also stressing on the cruelty to the animals, that Jesus wouldn't like that. He's kind. But when you read what they say, it's practically right out of the Bhagavad Gita. They may, none of them may even know that. But somehow, they've met devotees, they've seen what we're doing, and they've heard it again and again. They might even read, sometimes they read the book just to see, what we're doing. And they use it in their movies, they use it in their, all kinds of different ways. In London, you'll see in London there's this group of young people that go out fundraising for different, right? They have their vest on and they work for different groups, collecting money for this cause, that cause, that cause. And the leader of that group, he gets them all together in the morning and he reads Bhagavad Gita to them to get them fired up. They're very friendly, but they just work as pious people fundraising. We're trying to get some of them to, come over to distribute books. They have a whole deal with, and they work for any group that's a good cause. But the leader is, he reads Bhagavad Gita and he says it really gives a lot of strength to the workers. And that's going on in many, many places. So there's so many projects that can be done. He was mentioning, like in America, there's Bible study groups and many people, office executives and stuff, they run off at lunchtime or something to go to a Bible study class or a Quran study class. And we want to have Bhagavad Gita study classes. Not just for Indians, but for everybody. It's the real thing. It has nothing to do with any particular group, really. It's about Krishna. And it can help about the soul and our eternal relationship with the soul. So anyone who reads Bhagavad Gita, they're going to get energized for real spiritual life, for understanding what is, what to do and what not to do. The demons, they don't know what to do or not to do. and they're not clean. They're not clean in their thinking, they're not clean in their, they may look clean, they may polish up their shoes and everything, but their minds are filthy dirty. And the activities that they're meditating on are unclean. But by reading Bhagavad Gita, they get purified. And then meet devotees again and again, they get purified. So we want to be, you know, living representatives of the Bhagavad Gita and do whatever we can from whatever angle, whatever position anyone is in. Small percentage are actually out distributing books in most temples. In Tirupati, I think it's most of the devotees, but in most temples, you know, it's not everybody. But everybody should know that they're working to support that, and book distributors are working to, you know, support everything else also. We want people to go to the temples. We want people to be, temples to be wonderful places where people feel the presence of God. There's one in right near our temple in Nigeria, in Lagos. The Christian churches there, they have big signboards they advertise. So one of them has a big signboard and it says, "Come and feel the presence of God." Right? Sounds good, doesn't it? I felt like I'm going to go there. You know, the devotees have a signed morning program, evening program, you know, nobody cares about that. But come and feel the presence of God. One Christian man, he has a company. Just like they have companies that go as consultants to a business. He goes to churches and he analyzes, you know, everything about that church and how they can flourish more. So he said, you don't judge the church by how many people come on Sunday or how many donations you get on Sunday or any of those things, but how many people feel the presence of God. So that's what we want. When people come to the temple, we want them to actually experience Krishna. They're seeing Krishna, the deities, they're hearing the holy name. But by association with devotees who are actually experiencing the presence of the Lord and recognizing that Krishna is in everyone's heart. Anyone who met Prabhupada, you can read any book about Prabhupada, any memory about Prabhupada, they just felt like, you know, they were with Krishna. Because Prabhupada knew for sure that Krishna is in everyone's heart, Krishna loves everyone, and everyone is a spirit soul. He didn't have to peel away the coverings, or meditate on the covering, or get bewildered by the, you know, the modes that were covering us up. He dealt directly with the soul. He knew this is a spirit soul, and this is someone that Krishna is waiting for, and they're really looking for Krishna. And everybody became enlivened, and you know, whether they immediately joined up or not, many did, but they went away, you know, believing in Krishna, feeling something that they never felt before. So that's what we have to have, that kind of vision, that when people come, you know, they're spirit souls, Krishna sent them, and people that we meet, even if they don't take a book, Prabhupada said even if they touch the book, I remember we were distributing, and you know, the percentage of people, especially in a very busy place, like that, at that time I was in Chicago Airport, it's one of the busiest places in the world, you know, so most of the people we approached, a very low percentage actually took the book. But Prabhupada said that even if they touch the book, they get so much benefit. First he said if they read even one word or one line. Then he said even if they just tie, I remember we got very enlivened by that because we started thinking how many people are touching the book every day. Try to get more people to touch it, you know, without worrying too much about whether they take it or not. But then more people take it because by touching it they're getting purified. Maybe they're feeling like some possessiveness. Or they're just getting purified by contact with Krishna. Especially when the devotee is very, very happy, you know, to be meeting people. That anybody who stops, anybody, we even sees even people who reject Some people reject it so many times before they finally take the book, because they're getting purified every time they meet a devotee. And so we see that the places we go more and more people take. And the more we read the book, just to be with Krishna, not to maybe be a gyani or something and just learn something, but to associate with the Supreme Lord, to associate with Srila Prabhupada, his purports, and all the previous acharyas who are being present there, Narada Muni. Prabhupada said, Narada Muni, who's so kindly appearing on the pages of this Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not an ordinary book. And all the, you know, characters are there, they're present, Krishna's present, all the incarnations. So anyone who gets, you know, any contact with any of Srila Prabhupada's books is very, very fortunate. So gradually maybe we can see other countries become like India. Like in Chopadi now, that in order to join the Brahmacharya ashram, you know, it's harder than getting into Harvard University or something. They have to graduate, then they have to work for 2 or 3 years outside, and they can live in one ashram getting ready, and then they can make up their mind whether they want to be Brahmacharya ashram or not, and then they can go through more and more, you know, filtering process. And then they're fully determined and dedicated, you know, not like, okay, we need a pot washer, so please move in, you know, like it has been in some places. But this is a very special thing. Even getting a book, it's a special privilege for the person that gets it. And the more if they donate, the more they donate, the more they benefit for their own benefit. And not that I need money, but they need money. They need to give. They're going to spend their money anyway, so let them give it to Krishna. But when we understand that, then I'm sure everyone's experienced it. When we actually come to that, you know, realization sometimes, then people are very generous, people are happy. If we're thinking I need money or temple needs money, then it's very hard to pull it out from people. If we're thinking we're giving Krishna, we're giving the highest knowledge, we're doing the best welfare work, you know, tapakatamritam, taptajivanam, you know, there's nothing better for the souls who are burning up in this material world than this Krishna Katha, the most valuable thing. And whoever distributes it is Buddhida Janaha. They're the most magnanimous. Magnanimous means just giving freely. They're the most magnanimous souls. So you've all heard this all millions of times, and there's so many more book distributors in the world, maybe not so many come to Mayapur, or when they do come, they go to other seminars now. But and around Mayapur here, we see tables everywhere, and every day so many books are distributed. You know, in Vrindavan, so many books are distributed inside and outside the temple. Just right at the temple. And he told a story about Bhagavad Gita. I'll end with that. Another one, our Radha Kun Mataji, who's one of the first really big book distributors in America back in when I first joined. And she lived in India for many years, and she started that women's party that distributes outside the temple there in Vrindavan. And they distribute so many books every day. And she met one man, he was an older man, he took the Bhagavad Gita, and he came back a week or two later, and he said that he had been teaching Bhagavad Gita for 50 years. He was some kind of professor. But he said, I never understood it until I read this one. Until I read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, he said, now I understand the Bhagavad Gita. Even though he's a professor and, you know, respected as a great teacher of Bhagavad Gita, he admitted that he didn't really understand it until he read Prabhupada's. And that's happened to so many people from all different levels. And for us also, there's no limit to how many times we can read it and how much more we can understand it and appreciate it more and more as such a most important book in the world. And try harder and harder to live by it, to really represent, you know, the parampara, and this way bring everybody, you know, to higher consciousness. So I want to thank you very much for letting me speak, get a little life into my body by speaking about book distribution. Prabhupada said, go on with your lifetime plans for book distribution. I heard also when I was first distributing books, devotees are saying, well, it's really hard work and you can only do it for 2 or 3 years and then your body breaks down and you can't do it anymore. And I was thinking then that I had worked on construction and there was, you know, sometimes guys 60, 70 years old working on construction, you know, working really physically really hard, or farmers 80, 90 years old, so why can't we distribute books? Maybe we can't, you know, as much as we did when we were young, we can't do exactly the same. Just like many athletes, you know, they become a coach, right? They don't give up the sport, but they become a coach, or they have the seniors golf or something. So the guys who used to win all the tournaments, they have their own tournament now with just the old guys, you know, because they can't keep up with the energy of the young ones. But they're still doing it, so we can carry on one way or another, you know, promoting the spread of Krishna consciousness. Lifetime plans, life after life. Never give it up. Prabhupada liked that idea when devotees said they want to take birth again and distribute books. He said that's a good idea. It's a good sentiment. So, that's enough. Any question or comment? What country are all these guys in the back from? Huh? Where?
Russia.
All right. Yeah, Russia, they're also champions of book distribution. And sometimes very austere conditions. But it wasn't that long ago, you know, it was illegal in Russia. But because they distributed books anyway, everything opened up. Devotees did great tapasya there, you know, and that opened up the whole communist bloc, which is now one of our main preaching places. Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hare Hare.